The Province Sports Podcast.
It's the Whitetail Podcast. Patrick Johnson here hosting. Harrison Mooney guesting.
Hi.
Harrison, it's the first time you've been on the Whitetail since we relaunched.
It's an honor. I've been waiting.
Our Province Podcast, Vancouver Sun Podcast, Sports Department Podcasts.
What an exciting long
Doesn't
name.
That sound exciting?
Yeah.
Yeah, really nice and detailed.
Yeah. Can we change the name? Can we have like the Patrick and Harrison Heater Hour or like
No.
the Hot Take Oven
But
factory?
If you come back with a better title than the Heater Hour.
Yeah, that's true.
That's no good.
Top Shelf with Patrick and Harrison.
I'm pretty sure Top Shelf's already out there, isn't
Top
it?
Cheddar.
Top Cheddar. Top Cheese.
Yeah, there's lots.
Well, you got stuff to work. You got some time.
Okay.
Hopefully you'll be back. I don't know. We're trying to do this twice a week.
Right.
Sometimes it's Paul. Sometimes it's me.
Okay.
Ed Willis has been here. Well, I think we're dreaming of Ben Kuzma.
One of these days.
You've been here.
But in the meantime, you get me.
The real target is Scott Brown.
Oh, yeah. He's got a good voice for this.
You're amazing.
Okay. Well, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about the Vancouver Canucks. We're speaking the day after the Canucks lost another frustrating 4-3 home loss against the Vegas Golden Knights, a game that they had pulled back to 3-3. Bo Horvat having an incredible third period performance.
Well, okay, so you described it as frustrating, but as I understand it, Travis Green was actually pretty happy with his team.
Well, he said he was pissed off about the loss. Right. They gave up a shorthanded goal with 6 minutes to play, that was a sort of cascade of errors that were all preventable.
It was a bad goal for the team.
Bad goal for the team. It's one of those ones that you ask him about Jacob Markstrom, who, doesn't have a great save percentage. Now, of course, save percentage involves more than just the goalie.
Right.
And I think that was kind of Travis Green's point. He said, no, like, he's been making big saves. It's not on him. So
can we briefly talk about the goalie? I feel like we've talked a lot about the goalies so far this mm-hmm. year. And I wonder if it matters that much. It seems to me that, the Canucks are trying to build a good team mm-hmm. here, and you should be a good team with about average goaltending. Like, if you have better goaltending, that's great.
Yeah.
But you can't be relying on your goaltender at this point. You're in a rebuild. You're trying to get a good mm-hmm. team. I feel like it doesn't really matter what level of goaltending they get at this stage.
Well, the league is so narrow. I think this is something we're going to come – we'll come back to this, I think, more broadly. But the league is so narrow that most teams – most of the teams in the league are in a really narrow band, and they're all trying to scrap for the playoffs. And a goalie can make a difference. And I get where Travis Green's coming to, because you look at all four goals last night, and every one was not the goalie's fault. There was a great shot by Max Pacioretty on the power play. There was another goal from Pacioretty that was off the rush. There was the winning goal by William Karlsson, which involved a turnover, three forwards blowing the zone, picking up the extra man. Ben Hutton kind of caught in no man's land, not able to intercept the pass. I'm now drawing a blank, of course, on what the other goal would be, but they were all ones where William Carrier, the puck hits his foot and goes in the net, right. Which, as I noted in my Canucks at Night post reminded us of a goal that went in, it went the other way, but it hit 2 feet, mm-hmm. Friday night Saturday night in Los Angeles. Drew Doughty's shot hit Michael Delzato and Chris Nanev's feet on the way in. And so, he's at that point had laughed. He said, those have been going in all year. What am I supposed to do? And, right. You understand. So, from that standpoint, none of them are, but at the same time, it's sort of one of those ones where you're kind of going, He's made so many big saves.
Right.
Why not one more?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we do this thing after these games where, Markstrom hasn't played great. He hasn't, set the world on fire. But he's been a perfectly serviceable mm-hmm. goalie. But then we'll look at these goals that are scored and say, oh, well, you can't really blame him on this one. You can't really blame him on this one.
Right.
And I get it. The puck's supposed to go in. That's the point of the game. Pucks are going to beat goalies. But at the same time, it seems like it's so rare that we're talking about shots that, that's a fair one. To go in, but Markstrom stopped it.
Right.
I feel like he's not making many saves that are keeping the Canucks in games. It seems like either the team is good enough to win most nights, and it's not, you know, or you know, Markstrom's supposed to do something, and he doesn't have that. It seems like he doesn't have that ability to just kind of step up and and be the guy. But I don't know that you can ask him to do that right now.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's the moral of the story, and is that, you know, even though this is a team that is, you know, they're getting three goals lots of nights. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they're getting good enough offense that they should have more wins. Which brings us back to the topic at hand, which is Travis Green, who said, "Listen, if my team played like they did against Vegas on Thursday night, you know, 82 times a year, we're going to have more wins than I think most people expected we were going to when we started this season." And I totally get his point. You know, he clearly learned a lot last year. You know, obviously coming back with the same defense was, you know, as an organizational choice, a bit head scratching, because you'd think if you're trying to progress, if you're trying to move forward, that
you would improve the worst part of your
Well, you'd change things anyway. Yeah. You know, that you'd say, listen, this particular grouping didn't work. They've done things better. They're still giving – I mean, I write this almost every night. They're still giving away too many shots in good scoring areas, but they're doing a better job of defending against the rush. That's true. That makes a big difference. You know, shots off the rush have been found to have a better chance of going in than shots from a more stationary spot. So, you know, that makes a difference. And, you know, they're creating goal. You know, we've asked Green time and again about finishing, and time and again he said, listen, the guys who score goals in this league get paid. And, you know, he's honest. His team doesn't have.
Or you can get paid by Jim Benning.
Well,
for not scoring goals.
Yeah. Which, you know, I mean, is that the Louis Erickson story?
Yeah. That's the story of, I think, most free agent signings.
Yeah. You know, Jim Benning era. Yeah. And I think the truth is that in the end, you end up with the team that you have, which is that you're going to have to try to create goals maybe more than you deserve. You deserve on sort of on paper skill. You try to be more than the sum of your parts. And, you know, I think in a lot of cases they've done that. Green has basically said, he hasn't said this directly, but you can tell by the way the team's playing. You know, they want shots from the scoring chance area, which means that they are going to pass up shots and they are losing the shot attempts battle as a result because of that.
Right. I mean, they're also – like we do this thing where we look for reasons why the Canucks might be losing the shot attempts battle. And I think we know the real reason, which is that they just don't have enough skill yet.
Well, and they're honest about it. They played a lot of teams that are just flat out better than them.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of the story. And so I guess what I mean in that sense is they accept that's going to happen.
Right.
So let's try to make sure our shots are good ones anyway.
So returning the same defense, you know, and accepting that that's going to happen.
Right.
It seems like the Canucks maybe are accepting that they're just not going to be that good. Like the one thing that I'll say in Jim Benning's defense for bringing back this, you know, the same, blue line is, I mean, what's the point in doing something different? Like you're going to make some lateral moves, try to
get
some guys that are going to maybe help you finish 11th in the conference instead of 14th.
Yeah.
I don't know what the point is. And so, I mean, I can see Travis Green being happy with a game like last night where, yeah, they lost, but, you know, the team is starting to play more like I want them to play. And yeah, the win doesn't matter as much, it seems like, right now as process.
Well, yeah, that exactly. Emotionally, wins matter. That they've won once in 11 games. That's not an enjoyable experience.
Well, when you're not winning, you move the goalposts.
Yeah. You know? No, fair point. Yeah. I mean, I would say at the same time, though, that's a set of goalposts that he's pretty consistently maintained since training camp. I mean, it was a not exactly a bold statement by him, but it's not a statement you often hear from coaches. He said, listen, guys, we're not here to win the Stanley Cup.
Right.
You know, he was honest about it. Even when they had their hot start and people said, oh, you know, maybe the playoffs are a bit more in reach than we thought. Even then, he wouldn't really entertain. He said, no, he's just, I want us to be better tonight than we were last night. You know, pretty straightforward, obvious stuff from a coaching and from a leadership standpoint. So, you know, I think in the end it is, yeah, you're right. I mean, you, when you're not winning, talk about something else, talk about how well you're playing. And that's, you know, I mean, that's what else is he going to say? Oh, my team is not listening to me anymore. And that's why we're playing like crap. Well, you know where that's going to end up.
Is the team checking out on Travis? Yeah.
No, they're definitely not.
I thought maybe you had.
No, they're not. They're definitely not. No, they're not. It's a, No, they're not. They are enjoying. I mean, that's the good news. They enjoy playing with each other,
yeah.
and they enjoy hanging out with each other. And I'm working on a story on Elias Pettersson for next week, and so I ended up asking,
"What about him?
Just who is he? You know, who is this? You know, now 20-year-old kid who's you know living in a city a long way from home." And
I believe his name is Elias Pettersson. What have you learned about him?
What have I learned about him? Well, he's quiet. Everyone says he's quiet.
He really like okay. So
he is actually quiet. That's what the players are telling me.
I want to believe that, but I mean, this is the kid who painted himself gold after winning in Sweden. I just have a hard time believing that this kid who arrived in the NHL on top of the world, like a week into his career, they were like, "Is he Gretzky? Is he somehow better than Gretzky?
Is he
like Bobby Orr except a forward who's also Wayne Gretzky?" I feel like how can you be like a quiet – I'm assuming humble. Those two words tend to go together. How can you be that kind of guy when you're Elias Pettersson?
I think he picks his spots. You know, I mentioned this to Edler. You know, Edler, another quiet guy, and he sort of says – you know, I mean, Edler sort of suggested this is just the Swedish nature.
Right.
And I'll buy into that to some degree.
I guess there's there's always exceptions to that rule.
No, of course. Know? And I think the point is that he's not the exception. He does have a very dry sense of humor and you see it come out. And I brought it up with both Edler and Besser and they both smile because they're like, you're right. You know, he picks his spots, to sort of show himself. And, you know, it's also something I asked Besser about, and it's sort of one of those ones. Okay, now how do I actually fit this into the story? But because it's a bit about Besser as well. But I essentially asked, you know, Besser obviously at one point was a rookie in college hockey, and you're the 18, 19 year old kid coming into a room full of guys that are clearly adults, adults in the hockey sense, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, you compare that to a hockey dressing room where there definitely are, you know, guys in their late 20s, early 30s. It's not the same as
walking. Old men.
Old men.
In their mid-30s.
In their early 30s.
Yes.
But, yeah, you know, nonetheless, in comparison to a college room, you know, potentially a different – yeah, they're all young guys. And, you know – and, you mean, the other thing is college guys. I mean, you know, in theory, they're in college, so they're a bit more
– boisterous.
Whatever.
Rambunctious. Belligerent.
Anyway – Besser said, yeah, I mean, he's, you know, you come in and it's the kind of, you're quiet. You don't want to rock the boat. You want to sort of figure out who's who, you know, how does this room operate? You know, you don't want to get picked on.
Right. I mean, that's normal when you go into any workplace.
Yeah. Yeah. And you pick your spots.
With 10 so, more people in it.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see how this plays out, you know, but I, you know, that Besser sort of said at the same time too, though, you know, that, you know, you pick your moments to tell your jokes or to make do something funny. And you know, he said, yeah, sometimes he stands up and he says stuff and he doesn't say a lot. He's not a, you know, I didn't get the sense that this, you know, I got the sense that he's not the life of the party guy.
Right.
You know, that we all know guys, even when they were young, you know, they were new to the group, they just took over.
Right.
You know, that was their nature. And he's not like that. And, you know, maybe some of that's about the fact that he's just able to back it up and he just goes out and plays and he's such a good hockey player.
So are you saying that you don't think he's future captain material?
I have no idea.
No. Do you, I mean, that's something I wondered about because, you know, as soon as he showed up and he was so great for, I mean, he's been great this whole time.
Right.
But those first couple of weeks, people were already like, well, forget Bo Horvat. The new captain is Elias Pettersson.
Well, I mean, he could be. He's funny. He's honest.
Right.
I think the thing that caught most of us by surprise, I suppose. We're so used to players that if they're not sure what to say, they just fall back on a cliche. You
know, canned answers, they pass the buck a little bit.
You know, or they just don't want to get caught saying the wrong thing. I mean, this is something I go back to when I was a teacher and that you'd always run it in. You'd ask the class a question and, you know, maybe it was a challenging question that maybe challenged what they were, their assumptions a little bit. And more often than not, the first couple of questions were people trying to guess, but not be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, guys, it's okay if you just tell me what you think. Like there's no judgment here. And, you know, I think that's a common life personalities that we don't want to be wrong.
Well, I mean, I hate being wrong, but I'll tell you that I hate even more than being wrong is being wrong into a microphone.
Yeah.
That's the worst time.
Well, thank God we have you now.
I know. That's why I'm letting you lead.
But, you know, with Pettersson, you know, in an interview, partly it's because English is still something he's learning. And Besser joked about this too. He said, you know, he'll ask me what a word is or whatever. And I said, well, he does that with us too. And he said, yeah, you know, I think sometimes he's a bit unsure, you know, where, what direction things are going. And that's part of him learning it too. So he pauses. He thinks about what he wants to say. Mm. I think partly because it's a bit of a self-defense mechanism. He's pondering what his answer will come across as,
right,
where the answer will be taken. And that's fair enough. But in the end, you get these really actually quite thoughtful answers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been great. I mean, I hope it carries on. We've all said this. We hope it carries on because, you know, it makes our life easier. If you have, if you can understand, like, he's willing to talk about plays and you'll say, well, what about this? What about that? That actually seems to be when he's most happiest. I mean, that helps that he scores a lot of goals. So you can ask him, what about this play? Like the play last Saturday, when he anticipated Dion Phaneuf's outlet pass,
right,
just stepped in, took the pass, skated in and scored.
What did he say?
Well, yeah, he said he realized that was what was happening. He tried to delay his move. It happened. He stepped in on the puck, took the puck, and then went in on the goalie. And I asked basically two questions. I said, first of all, did you put it where you wanted to? And he says, yeah, I saw there was a bit of space there and I hit it, you know, just above his pad. And I said, also, was there sort of a sense from you that you needed to make this all happen quickly? Because the goalie, of course, mentally would be expecting the puck to be cleared.
Right.
And, you know, he was quite funny. He said, well, you know, I've never played goalie, but I would imagine that if I were a goalie, you know, I would expect the puck to be out and I wouldn't be ready for someone to be shooting right away.
Right.
And yeah, you know, that helped you understand. It helps you, you know, when you're covering a team and covering a game, it helps you write, I think it helps you write better because you actually understand what's happening. You can actually extrapolate from that as opposed to having to guess. So
his awareness, I mean, his ability to just jump in and, you know, pick off those passes has been just consistently amazing. I mean, he did it again
on Thursday.
On Thursday.
Yeah.
Although I'm going to add my one and only criticism of Elias Pettersson here. He falls down too much, man. This guy's always falling down. And, you know, I get that he still made an incredible pass from his knees. But when he went down, I was like, typical.
Is he pro? Were you pro or anti Mason Raymond?
I liked Mason Raymond. I thought he was great.
Were you in the he falls down too much camp?
Oh yeah. You know, and I will say too, like, there some guys just fall down a lot. And I think it's fun. Like, it's fun when you see that kind of personality coming out in their skating.
Yeah.
You know, some guys will just, like, whip around the ice and fall down like crazy, but they're fast. And, you know, other guys are a little bit more stoic on their feet and they're not gonna lose their footing. But a guy like Pettersson, like, I've seen him lean on guys in a way where, like, if that guy just backs off a little, you know, like when you know, in grade school, like, someone would, like, lean against you or push you and you could just kind of step out of the way and they'd fall. Do you ever get any of that?
You made your friends fall a lot in school?
I mean, you know, just people who were getting up in my grill, Patrick. But I'm just saying, Pettersson leans on guys where all they'd have to do is, you know, move over an inch and he'd go down.
I understand.
Yeah, and he plays like he doesn't really care if he's on his feet or not.
No, and yeah, he showed that last night, didn't he? All right, here's my question for you.
All right.
It's topic number two. What's your angle on this season's angle?
Oh yeah, what's the approach? I mean, you know, I think it's interesting to talk.
Which, by the way, is in response to essentially to Green saying, you know, I'm focused on the process.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting to see that, you know, I mean, inside the room, obviously the Canucks aren't going to admit that, you know, this is a rebuilding year. Ideally, they don't make the playoffs. Ideally, they get a high draft pick. You know, I mean, they're all trying very hard, but I don't think that they're going to beat themselves up over these one goal losses where they showed well and just didn't get the points that are going to take our high draft pick away. You know, that's fine. But for me, as a spectator, you know, I mean, I'm watching to see who's going to emerge as a member of this core that they're, you know, trying to build. Like, we've seen teams like Winnipeg and Nashville or Toronto that have kind of assembled a real core now. And you can see, like, okay, these are the six guys, and then they'll surround them with a kind of a rotating cast. But for the Canucks, you know, the question is still who are these guys?
Right.
And a few have emerged, right? I mean, Pettersson for sure. And I think he showed up and was so clearly like a first line center, a game changing superstar. Some people are willing to say, oh, the rebuild's over, you know,
right,
they found their guy. but you need more than that. So you've got Pettersson, you've got Horvat, Besser. Everybody is pretty sure that Quinn Hughes is going to be one of these guys. Mm-hmm. But that's about it. I mean, you know, I look at the defense that hasn't changed at all. And the question for me is, like, are any of these guys going to be members of the core?
Right.
Like, I don't know. I mean, you know, I like Troy Stetcher. Some people don't like Troy Stetcher.
Which is shocking to me.
It is shocking. We can talk about that later. You know, I think, like, Hutton could make a case. It still
Hutton's,
seems like,
Hutton's improved. I, those who haven't seen it, and I've linked to it a couple times, Daryl Keeping at Canucks Army wrote a really interesting piece, basically just looking at how much more Hutton is doing. And it's clearly, I mean, he called it veggies, he called it veggies and not veggies and dip. He called it, what did he call them? Veggies and
this is as opposed to meat and potatoes.
As opposed to cheese and crackers Hutton.
Oh, okay. All right. Veggies. I'll take veggies and dip Hutton or whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah. It's just the point was that Hutton's leaner and it's just, yeah, he's fitter and he's more able to, it's something that I've learned covering other sports and reading, but he's just able to repeat things better, which means he's just doing more.
Yeah. He's also just skating better. Yeah. You know, he's finding gaps. He's blowing away from guys coming out from behind the net. Like, there's a lot of good things about
and his coach is playing him, which is a reflection. I mean, that again, we talk about the return of the eight guys, which, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you'd rather not. Mm-hmm. You'd rather just bring, I think, have brought Olli Juolevi in, you know, because he's a guy that they're planning to be part of their core.
Yeah, I mean, you'd hope he would be. But, yeah, I mean, looking at, like, Hutton could be kind of a member of this core. But, you know, Hutton, Stetcher are kind of on the bubble. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with Edler and Tanev? Like, Edler, it seems like maybe will never leave. I feel like they could trade him and he just refused to report. Yeah. Like, no, I'm a Vancouver Canuck for life. He seems like a guy like Barry Sanders who just retired before he'd accept a trade to somewhere else.
So, I'm not planning him out. Yeah.
Who knows?
I like this uniform.
Yeah. Here or nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, these guys are still guys that, like, maybe they're going to be part of the core going forward. I don't know. So I'm interested in the players that are on the bubble and the players that are making a case for themselves this year. So, I mean, obviously Pettersson has been a fun story, but the guys that have been compelling to me have been guys like Ben Hutton. And like Jake Virtanen, who, you know, seemed to be knocking on the door and saying, you know, when this team establishes its identity, I'm going to be part of it. And so that's been the interesting thing for me. I don't really care if the Canucks win or lose. Right. I just kind of want to know how this reality show is going to shake out and who the final six contestants are going to be.
It's Canucks Survivor.
It basically is. I mean, at this point, it has to be. Like, what else are we watching? Because we're not watching, you know, their march towards the Stanley Cup. That's not the narrative of this year.
No.
The narrative is just who's going to emerge when they're ready to make their march for the Stanley Cup.
Well, I mean, this was, I think, the fourth item on our list, but I'm going to jump ahead because the transition is so good.
Ooh.
Could we be talking about – I mean, is it even worth talking about playoffs? I mean, it's hard. I mentioned already this week, like, even if you set aside the fact they've lost 10 of their last 11, it's so difficult – to make the playoffs. I mean, there's a lot of teams treading water, but, you know, when you look at the fact that San Jose are the favorites, I would say Calgary, you know, despite some flaws, is probably going to be in there. You know, Vegas, it's hard to say that the team that made the Stanley Cup final is going to slump so badly they aren't going to make the playoffs. And they've been playing better lately. And, you know, there were a lot of reasons to think that they were always going to get back on. That's three. You know, Connor McDavid is playing for a bizarrely built team. I mean, I friggin' hilarious today. The Oilers pick up a winger whose name escapes me, but ostensibly, well, we need to shore up our wings. And I'm like, yeah, you traded two pretty good ones.
Yeah, Peter Chiarelli is like, you know, a guy that you ask to renovate your kitchen, and he just knocks out a bunch of walls in the living room. And you're like, I don't remember asking for this.
Yeah,
and he's like, yeah, but wait until you see the plastic cover that's going to go over this hole I made.
Yeah, exactly.
Very decorative.
Yeah,
you're really gonna like it.
What does it have to do with the hole in my wall?
Yeah, it just seems like you created a bunch of unnecessary holes. Yeah. No, I redecorated. Yeah.
Anyway, the point being that the playoff chase, no matter what, was always going to be hard.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't want to say, you know, forget about the playoffs because, you know, the playoffs are the wonderful MacGuffin that drives this whole narrative. Yeah. Like, you know, every team is striving to make the playoffs. But I mean, it's as completely meaningless whether or not the Canucks do make the playoffs as, like, you know, whether the Avengers get that big box from space or whatever it is they're trying to get. Like, who cares about the big box from space? Show me the team coming together.
Right.
So, yeah, sure. Like, chase that big box from space. But this is about the team. For me.
If they make the playoffs, is that a bad thing?
I mean, I guess so. Like, yes, because, you know, we all just want the Canucks to draft Jack Hughes and have the best brothers.
I don't think
in the
that's happening, though.
I mean, probably not, but you never know,
yeah.
Especially if they keep losing.
What is it that Micah McCurdy calls that range? Or he's the range of sadness. Like, you're just – you miss the playoffs and you're, like, too good to really be seriously taken serious in the draft lottery.
There is a good term for that.
Yeah, he's got a good one. Anyway.
But, yeah, like, I don't know. I think that you can't rule the playoffs out entirely. And who knows? If the Canucks do make the playoffs, that's fun. You know, you get to watch some playoff games, and the players are going to get experience. And, I mean, frankly, I just kind of want to see Elias Pettersson in the playoffs. Like, I don't care that much if the Canucks get a high draft pick.
Yeah.
If he just does, like, one cool thing to win a playoff game, I'm fine. But, yeah, ideally, I guess they don't make the playoffs. I don't really want to root against the Canucks, but preferably they lose most of their games.
Micah just calls it the sadness sweepstakes.
Oh, yeah.
Chance of missing the playoffs and not picking in the top five.
Yeah, that's going to be the Canucks if Pettersson keeps playing.
Yeah, the way he's been playing. And he's been playing really well. That's the other thing that I think people perhaps haven't noticed. Maybe he hasn't.
No one's noticed that Pettersson's.
Well, no, he just hadn't been putting up points.
Right.
There was sort of on that losing string. I mean, he still scored 3 goals, but he only had 4 points in 10 games, which, you know,
terrible.
Just dreadful.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's a tough way to start your mm-hmm. NHL career too. You come in, you show well, you are clearly the best player on your team. And so, you know, all of the other teams are going to key to defending you. And then all these other centers that are going to kind of help take some of the weight off these guys that are supposed to be doing that, you know, your Sutter and your Jay Beagle,
right.
They go down.
Yeah.
And now it's just like Horvat taking every face off. And anytime that he's
insane.
Out there,
how many
Pettersson get out there.
It's insane how many faceoffs Horvat's taking.
Yeah. Do you like I like that now that he's taken a lot of faceoffs, people are starting to go like Selke? Is it
Well, he's playing well enough. He's playing honest. Well, yeah, it is kind of. And like, he's not the best defensive centerman in the NHL, but he's a lot better than he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something I noted last night was that, you know, in the midst of all this, Bo Horvat's having a hell of a season.
Yeah, an incredible season.
And it's legit now. It's you know, I remember a game a couple of years ago where I was just in the stands as a fan and he was, you know, I guess it would have been probably his second year in the league. And Willie put him up head to head against Ryan Getzlaff.
Right.
And Bo never left his own end. Like,
yeah.
He just got eaten alive. And that doesn't happen anymore. Like, he's been putting up really strong numbers against really good players.
Yeah, and he's doing it with not much help. I think I saw a stat from Jason Botchford, who once worked here.
Some guy, yeah.
You know, that after – who was it? Like, after like Tim Schaller is his most used winger.
Which is – who has no goals.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
He's been scratched 4 times and has no goals. Oh, yeah. No. His most common wingers have been – yeah, exactly. It's guys who just – partly because it's sort of seeing, well, Bo's going to have to carry the load defensively. And it's also like, well, you got to put somebody there. And mm-hmm. that's the state of the Canucks lineup right now.
That actually brings me to one of my favorite narratives. Like I mentioned, you know, Jake Virtanen's a guy that I've really enjoyed watching this year. And I feel like – you know, because Travis Green trusts Bo Horvat so much, he trusts him all the time. Like, whoa, who do I want to put out there? I'm thinking Bo. Because of that, Virtanen has had a hard time getting onto Horvat's line.
Right.
And it sure seems like their styles of play really would complement one another, this kind of like north-south game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like a lot of brawn. You know, they're not Pettersson and Goldobin who are going to do it with nifty passing.
Yeah.
Like, they're just going to go straight ahead.
I'm going to beat you because I'm stronger.
Yeah. So you'd think that they would play well together, but in order for Virtanen to get on that line, he has to earn Travis Green's trust, and it just seems like he hasn't quite done it yet. He's been working his way
there. He has his moments, yeah.
Yeah, and every now and then, you know, he'll get a look on that line for like a couple of shifts,
yeah.
But I feel like if Virtanen is a top six winger, it's going to be on Bo Horvat's wing eventually, and he has to earn that, and it's been fun to watch him try.
You know, it's been interesting watching Vertanen this season because, you know, obviously he scored some goals. There is a narrative that a particular radio station has been pushing, which is fun.
Shotgun Jake.
Shotgun Jake. Well done, Halford and Brough.
You want to know my hot take on shotgunning beers? Don't. Like, just don't. Like,
it's just a waste. It's just a waste.
Drink them the normal way.
Yeah, but that's not fun.
It is fun. Have you ever had three beers the normal way? It's pretty fun. Yeah. Think about that.
But no, Vertanen, what I was going to say was Vertanen, you know, he's been scoring. He's been finding ways to get in behind the defense again, which was how he scored almost all his goals in junior. And obviously the NHL is a lot harder to do because the defensemen are way better than they are in junior. And, you know, so so there's certain aspects of his game that he never really, I suppose, honed in is the word. You know, generally isn't a guy that finds himself in the slot, which is where goals come from.
Right.
He's been doing a better job of that this year. And he's also just trying to do stuff like he loves carrying the puck in. He's a great skater. He loves coming around, loves swooping behind the net. And they're trying to get him just put the puck back into the slot, see what happens. And so you're seeing more stuff like that. And I think it's the other thing too, as you grow up, you start realizing, you know, like a rugby coach once talked to me about the concept of capacity. I think I've mentioned this on a previous podcast, but just the idea that, you know, an athlete is capable of doing so much during a game, and most athletes don't realize how much they're able to do,
right.
You know, for a long time. Some of them never realize it. And, you know, to talk about Hutton's a great example of a guy who all of a sudden discovered he could actually do way more than he ever thought. I think Vertanen's now into that mode where he's starting to realize, you know, it's not just a question of sort of some shifts I go full blast and then I have to take off the next couple shifts to kind of find myself. It's understanding that you can actually have a really high average sort of output.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily the peak, but it's still incredibly useful and productive. And, you know, I think he's kind of in that mode now and he's really started to figure that out.
Yeah. And I think it helps that he's seeing the ice better too. I
mean, yeah.
That pass that he made.
Oh, yeah.
Adam Gaudette's first NHL goal was a pass that Jake Vertanen of years past is not making.
Well, and there was an outlet pass last night that he made that was just a fantastic tape to tape pass. Canucks have not had a lot of nice outlet passes this season. And some of that's by design. Some of that's just been pure skill.
Like by Jim Benning's design.
No, I think it's by the way designed by in the sense of the way that they've been strategizing their approach to the game in terms of what they're actually trying to do down ice because of the fact they are a quicker team now. They are causing problems for teams and by using their speed and not necessarily focused as much on carrying the puck out, which, you know, in general is what you want to do. But they're trying to optimize what they have.
Mm-hmm.
And, so a pass like that was notable. I think he hit Mark Scranlund in stride and it was, you know, created essentially a zone exit and zone entry on one move,
mm-hmm.
Which is the kind of thing they've been trying to do. And they've been throwing the high winger. And that's partly why, Vertanen himself has had a few more breaks on the back end because he's been asked to fly high and try to pick off some passes and put pressure on the defenseman while he's in full stride.
Yeah, he said something, I feel like it might have been in one of your pieces, just about seeing the ice, better every game.
Yeah. That's been a general topic for him, yeah. And I talked to him, you mentioned the goal, Gaudette's goal. He just played it. He played it simply, he played it perfectly. Things happened. You know, he didn't think about it. He just played. And when he does that,
it's
so much better. Last topic we get before we go, you want to talk about Troy Stetcher because I wrote about him this week.
Yeah. So Troy Stetcher was a healthy scratch in a game last week
on Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah.
A surprise healthy scratch.
Yeah. And people were quite surprised. Mm-hmm. And I saw a lot of, I don't want to use outrage because I feel like that word we just use it to dismiss tweets, you know? But I saw a lot of anger.
Twitter specializes in outrage.
Yes, it does. But yeah, there was a lot of anger. People were annoyed that, Stetcher was out of the lineup to make room for Alex Biega. And I think the argument was that shouldn't happen. Stetcher's a better hockey player.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, you know, this year has been the year that Stetcher has started to get that. Maybe now that Hutton isn't getting that as much, where people are questioning his utility as a defenseman.
Which is too bad because he does so many things really well. I mean, last night there were examples of I think it was the second Pacioretty goal. Stetcher did have a bad read and you know literally got beat into the zone. Much like Hutton made a bad read on the fourth goal. I mean, the goal was created before Hutton was involved, but Hutton had a chance to make a difference and got caught. Essentially no man's land. But Stetcher mostly has been really good. He's a really tough his angles. I mean, this is the thing. He's a little guy. And, you know, his survival as a player in NCAA hockey and now in the NHL has been totally about his ability to dial in on the play and understand what he's not going to throw a huge hit. He's not that kind of guy. And even those kinds of guys are less and less now because of the importance of positional hockey. But the only way he's going to be a difference maker is if he's in the right spot all the time. And he's really good at that. He's really good at stopping, rushes into his end. He just is in the right spot. He forces teams to dump the puck in. He's a really nice passer. He moves the puck well. He's a good skater. And yeah, the numbers back it up. He's had a really good season on a team that, you know, like I said, has done well enough with the puck, but has been giving up too many goals. And
well, then why is he getting scratched?
I think it was one of those ones. It's complicated. I'm not sure the solution as proposed made sense, but he's back in the lineup. He's playing with Ben Hutton. You know, the reason why he was scratched, Travis Green said, was he wanted to get Alex Biega a game, which, you know, a certain level, fair enough. He hasn't played. You need to make sure your guys are fresh. He got in the lineup. Tuesday night, we don't actually know what was going to happen because Eric Gudbranson all of a sudden had a neck injury
right. And
wasn't able to play. So, which meant Stetcher came back in automatically and Biega stayed in the lineup and Gudbranson was out and Gudbranson's still out. Like he was skating on the fourth pairing at practice today. Doesn't look like he's going to play on Saturday. Travis Green was asked about Gudbranson's health status. He basically said, yeah, you know, he's on, you know, basically called him day to day, whatever that means.
When did he suffer the injury?
I believe it was in practice on Monday. Because it was a bit of a surprise that he wasn't available, they wasn't available to play. And you know what? I mean, Gudbranson actually has not, you know, he's been okay. Mm-hmm. He's been asked to play a bigger role than I think they intended for him to do because Chris Tanev and Alex Edler were hurt. He mostly did all right. You know, I mean, that's some of the story of that losing streak was that all of a sudden the Canucks had, I think, six guys out injured and you're asking guys to do more than they were intended to do. And right. At some point that comes home to roost and you can't keep patching up the boat anymore and the leaks, there's just too many leaks.
Okay, well, this leads me to one last question then before we go.
Yeah.
Which is, with Eric Gudbranson out, mm-hmm. who is going to avenge all of the big nasty hits against Canucks players?
Well,
no one, I think, is the answer.
No one.
How come they're not getting mad about these things? You know, Edler got hit by Ryan Reeves last night, and a lot of people were mad. Canucks, not so mad.
Nothing happened. Yeah, that's – I don't know, man. I mean, it's one of those ones where it's kind of where the game is now. I think they talk a lot about not getting too high, not getting too low. You know, emotions are something that everyone tries to put aside now. And, you know, I think especially for those of us who've come up being used to seeing – reactions and
the liberties responded
liberties to. And you know guys in the lineup who that was what they would do, you know, it's a strange new era. And I think fights are way down.
Yeah,
no, I mean, you know, the Canucks have had, I couldn't even tell you how many, three fights this year, and two of them have been Gudbranson.
Yeah,
like I couldn't even tell you how many fights they've had this year. So you know, you talk to I talked to Thomas Gradin before the season, and he talked about how he once had to fight Jack McElhargy in a pre-training camp scrimmage.
Well, just to prove he could do it.
Just to prove that he was a tough – he wasn't a –
not one of those quiet Swedes we've heard so much about.
No, worse than that. Chicken shit Swede.
Ooh, is that what he said?
That's what he said. That's quoting. But, okay. You know, and he said, you know, you just don't have to do it anymore. It just doesn't happen. The game is so evolved. And, you know, you look at who like, just look at Travis Green's junior career to see who's his, you know, some of his teammates. I mean, he played with Link Gates.
Yeah.
Link Gates, who was just, who was one of the craziest goons there ever was. I mean, in that era of the WHL, teams didn't warm up at the same time. They took turns because they just, there were just too many shenanigans happening. Yeah.
I think too, I mean, the NHL has cut the middleman out a little bit,
you know,
because if they're going to punish head hits, and then the other hits are, we assume, clean.
Right.
Well, then, like, what hits are you fighting about?
Well, that's it. And, you know, you identified one, which is, you know, the coach and the player both said, well, I don't think it was much of anything. I kind of went in thinking, you know, there's a story here. You know, this is the Reeves hit is the kind of hit the NHL should be going after. And, you know, I think that's probably, I mean, that's a discussion we'll have another time, I'm sure. Because, you know, there's incidental contact and there's trying to teach responsibility. And where does supplemental discipline come into that? That's a whole other question, I think. And a lot of people have interesting thoughts on that. But
not us, not on this podcast.
Not today. But, no, you know, it's funny. You say who's going to stand up. Well, I mean, nobody. I mean, that's the reality. You might Roussel's the kind of guy that he'll get in your face. He might bite you. You know, because he knows he's only going to get fined now, and but that's just kind of where the game is. And I need to be honest; I'm fine with it.
Yeah, me too. I mean, honestly, like I would be far more deterred by knowing that there was a guy who would bite me if I took liberties than a guy who's going to chase me around the ice.
Bite me.
Yeah,
that's the name of the podcast.
Yeah, we did it.
All right, buddy.
Good talking.
All right, folks, that's Harrison at Harrison Mooney on Twitter. I'm at Rising Action. Of course, if you're listening to us in Apple Podcasts, please rate and review us. Suggest to your friends. The White Towel feed is in there. And if you're looking for another way to play it, well, that's on the page. Hopefully you can find the link. See you, I guess, next week. Probably Paul, maybe Willis, maybe me. Probably not me. Maybe me. I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe.
See ya.
We'll see what happens.